Hey, it's Cody. Just wanted to let you know that this call was held remotely over Zoom, so at some points it sounds a little Zoomy. Hello, everyone. It's Cody, and I'm excited, and that's not disingenuous YouTuber excitement speak. I'm happy because today we are talking to, we already spoke with, Levi Sanford, the senior marketing manager at Ice Barrel. Now, why are you hearing from a marketing director at a company and not another filmmaker or casting director or ad agency type? Well, if you're a filmmaker who works in advertising, this discussion is tangential and applicable because not only will it help you understand how a great company communicates and operates in very healthy ways, by the way, but you'll also learn how you could probably be running your own company. A lot of up-and-coming filmmakers don't quite understand that commercials and commercial filmmaking is part of a business ecosystem. It's not Hollywood. It's not just about the filmmaking. The filmmaking is part of a larger machine that exists to serve our clients who are trying to serve their clients. Creating cool shots, pulling off cool tricks, making bold style choices, all cool, and maybe what get you a job over other directors and companies from time to time, it's not the main attraction when it comes to commercial advertising. And once in a while, we come across a company or a person, or in this case, both a company and a person, who are able to articulate what real success looks like. Which is why, if you're a filmmaker working in advertising, I really do think you need to hear this. Now, on to Ice Barrel. If your Instagram feed looks anything like mine, you're probably seeing people starting to do cold plunges, taking ice baths, and throwing themselves into icy lakes and rivers. Or you might be seeing influencer comedians mocking people who have discovered this and are excited about feeling better, which is funny because when I met Levi Sanford, I mentioned to him the Insta comedians who were kind of picking on ice baths, and he said, "That's great. The more people who learn about it, the better." That's how much he believes in it. And if that isn't a great introduction to who Levi is, I don't think I've ever met somebody, ever, so genuinely authentic, who honestly cares about both his team and helping other people. And for the record, this is not sponsored by Ice Barrel. We are not sponsored. There's no... I was looking into Ice Barrel myself for an upcoming project, but once I got in touch with Levi, I was just so impressed with how he does business, with his perspectives, his mindset, overall just how he lives, that I just had to have him on the podcast because I think you will benefit from hearing what he has to say too. I could go on and on about why I think Levi is great, but it's time to let him speak for himself. He shares a lot of wisdom here, both in life and in business. So, without further ado, filmmakers and advertising intro music.
A garden of pure ideology.
Yeah, just your typical Super Bowl car ad.
Or a hilarious beer ad.
Break was over 15 minutes ago, Mitch!
I think you're the best ever.
Look down, back up, where are you?
You're in the bush.
Well, how am I supposed to know? I never been there.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do...
Wanna play Bob?
I think we're going to be here a while.
As I said the first time after I talked to you once, I just thought the your approach to Ice Barrel specifically. First, I just thought, oh, wow, the way that Levi talks about Ice Barrel, they sound like a really cool company. And then you kept talking. I was like, oh, no, maybe it's Levi that's just that cool. And maybe he's just bringing that to Ice Barrel. And then I started to gather that it's just both. And in no specific order, even though we'll have some questions that we want to ask you, I would just love to dive into your philosophies and your creative approach because I was smitten after the first time we spoke and I had called Justin. I was like, I just talked to the coolest guy and his approach to marketing in this company. And then it was working. I was like, I think I've already told several other people about Ice Barrel. Like his, whatever he's doing is really good because he's in my head because I just think that they're out here trying to save the world and heal people and make people feel better. So I just think it's a fantastic approach to, I don't know if marketing is good enough of a word to call it what it is that you and or Ice Barrel are doing. But yeah, if you could just dive in and start telling me a little, and I'm sure you have to talk about your experience and how you got there a little bit too, which I have plenty of questions about, but yeah, can you kind of kick us off and tell me a little bit about like why someone like me thinks you guys are so interesting with how you're doing things?
It's interesting. I think the way I approach marketing, the way I think of marketing has definitely evolved. And you know what's cool? I've definitely evolved. So what I found is that when I change, everything changes. And the more I learn about human behavior, myself, then it allows me to more deeply connect to my own values. And I think that allows me to better connect to other people and to share those values from a place of alignment and congruency between my beliefs, the perspective I have about my own life, what I'm here to do, and the actions that then follow that. And so I think there's a common thread. That feeling that you got after we spoke can be felt in lots of different areas of life. And if you really kind of delineate it, if you kind of boil it down, it's really an energy exchange. It's communication. It's connection. We connected, Cody. That was a cool thing. We connected. And so I think that's really what marketing is. It's connecting with people. And when marketing's done right, it is a beautiful exchange of ideas, of information, of products and services. When it's done wrong, it's incredibly annoying. It's a nuisance. It's noise. So there's this interesting like dichotomy around advertising. And when I started, I hated ads. Still to this day, I'm annoyed by certain ads. If they're not relevant, if they don't serve me, if they're not coming from a place of connection and alignment with brand values. And I think nowadays we live in such a transparent social media world that you really need that authenticity. You need that transparency. And it's my hope that we continue on this path in that regard of supporting the individuals, supporting the brands, supporting the ideas that are really serving people. So with that, I feel like marketing is an incredible honor and a responsibility. And I've always thought about it in terms of as the marketer, as the advertiser specifically, I could be leading the sheep to the shepherd, or I could be leading the sheep to the wolf, right? So it's like, man, when I first started out, I was just getting any gig I could. I was promoting stuff that I thought was okay, only to find out there's some shady business stuff going on behind the scenes of the products that I was supporting. And so you kind of just go like, wait a minute, what am I really doing here? Sure, it's paying the bills, but what impact am I making? And I think us millennials came into a place, a time and a place in the world where that became so important. The alignment of who I am at my core, what I stand for, that's got to be what I do in my job or else I'm living a double life. So again, the more I've worked on myself, the more I've evolved, the more I've just been around marketing, you just get clear. And I think the first step is figuring that out. And once you become clear yourself, you can clearly articulate those values. And so that's kind of on a high level what I look at. And I also think it's so interesting advertising because in most cases for the interruption style marketing platform, so your Meta, your Facebook, Instagram, people aren't looking for what I'm approaching them with, what I'm presenting them with. They're not looking for it, but here it is. And so I think that's an interesting dynamic. And I go back to this thing called the law of reciprocity. And the law of reciprocity, in a nutshell, states that when you do something nice for somebody else, they feel like they want to do something nice in return. They want to connect to that. And according to a few studies, the returned action is oftentimes greater than the initial impetus. So a common example, walking down the street, look at a stranger. I smile. They smile back. I smile bigger. They'll usually smile bigger back. And then to some extent, it's too weird. But just a small little thing. So I think I encourage people, be the spark. Go out. Be that spark. Create what you want to see. Create things that serve people, that support people, that help people. So yeah, that's kind of the, you know, the 20,000 foot perspective of what we get to do.
It's beautiful.
That's what I'm talking about. See, Justin?
Oh yeah, I hear it.
He gets it. I don't know how to articulate these things, but it's nice listening to you say them. So I'm like, yeah, that's what that feeling is.
So how does that work? How does that apply? How does that show up in your day-to-day life now?
Through asking questions, through leaning in, slowing down, I had a tendency to go so fast. I was a part of this hustle culture that has honestly plagued our generation in a lot of ways. The overproductive, I identify with what I do is who I am. The quality of my work is my identity. What other people say about me is who I am. And so it took a lot of personal work to work through that and really slowing down. And what I mean by that is it's a weird thing, but slow is smooth and smooth is fast. So when you learn to do the little things, when you learn to connect with people, to ask the right questions, to lean in, not just assume, not just go a million miles an hour, but really get down to what's the story we want to tell. And I think you guys can probably identify and relate with that a lot. Sure, we can do the Michael Bay thing. Yeah, we can throw money. Yeah, we could do this. We could do that. It'd be so cool. All right, but story, that's the most important thing. You could have a 10K budget, but you tell a great story. It makes people feel. It creates emotions. Emotions are energy in motion. That's what it is. Energy in motion. And when you can do that, when you can make people feel how you sing your song, which could look like advertising this thing, promoting that thing, talking about this brand, talking about this idea. How you sing that song is everything. It's less about the thing you're doing and more about the intent, the values, and the story behind it. If you can make people feel something, it causes people to take action. When I hear somebody sing from the soul, I get goosebumps. It makes me get up. It makes me move around. I want to dance. I want to do something. It makes me want to take action. I could hear somebody sing Amazing Grace and you could hit all the right notes. It's like, wow, okay, that's really good. I respect the skill. I respect the thing. Then I hear someone sing it from the soul with passion and uniqueness. And it's like, oh, I connect to that. So I think it, on a human level, we've got to be able to connect to what breaks through the noise and causes somebody to feel something. So I don't know if that's a great answer to your question, but it shows up in all kinds of ways. In the meetings that we have, the way we structure meetings with our teams, I like to start in with a check-in. So I'll say, hey, where's your peace scale at? On a scale of 1 to 10, what's got you there? What's in the gap? To know where we're going to go, we've got to get current reality of where we're at. And sometimes I've said, hey, I know we wanted to have this meeting in this way. I know we wanted to accomplish this thing, but that's not where we're at right now. And that's okay. Let's allow the space. Let's slow down.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
I know. I'm glad we're recording this so that I don't have to write that stuff down. I know the first time I talked to you, you had said a couple things that I want to ask about with how you run meetings. You said a few things with how you run meetings. Before we dive into that, I want to give context to what those meetings are. So we have to acknowledge where you are right now, which is Ice Barrel. You know, without taking a jab at any specific company, you know, I joked with you about Super Bowl commercials. You will see a brand, anybody can think of one. I'm sure a few will come to mind. And they can make the most heart-wrenching tearjerker of a commercial. And then at the end, it's, blah, product that kind of destroys you. Brought to you by poison in some way, shape, or form. But what Ice Barrel is, because Justin was asking me questions about you, I was like, well, I wonder if it's easier for them because what they're doing is actually helping people. So I wonder if that makes it easier for them a little bit. So if you could, can you tell us a little bit about Ice Barrel?
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that. So Ice Barrel is a cold therapy company. We create tools that help people get colder and feel better. You'll see all across social media nowadays, you've got cold plunges and this whole thing about cold therapy is surfacing. And you see Joe Rogan now just had a great podcast with Andrew Huberman, who's a big researcher in that area. And more research and studies are coming out showing it's so beneficial to not only the body, but the mind, the athletic recovery, the immune system. So we go, okay, but this has been around for thousands of years. Back in the day, the Romans did this. They had hot pools and cold pools. And what I think is interesting is like, why now? Why now? Why all of a sudden the interest in cold therapy? And you know what? I've got some theories. I've got some ideas. And they're just ideas. But when you look at what's happened the past few years and the disconnection from others and within ourselves. Everybody experienced COVID-19 and in some form of way that disrupted the way of being prior to that. And I think that it was a real opportunity for us to figure out what's important. Like, yeah, I like working from home. I like being in my environment. Maybe those old ways of being aren't serving us anymore. That's helpful. But also I felt such a disconnection from what's been ingrained in our species for thousands of years. Being outside, exercising, connection to nature, doing things that are uncomfortable. Man, are we a comfort-seeking society. And it sounds good, like, hey, that's American dream. I want to make enough money so I don't have to ever have to work again. A few years back, I was fortunate enough to leverage myself out of my business. I was running a digital ad agency, and I was seeking this comfort lifestyle. I built my castle. I lived in my castle. I was living on Uber Eats, so I didn't have to cook. I worshiped my time and my freedom. That's what I really prioritized. And in seeking that comfort and in not having to work and making a great living doing that, that would be a dream of many people. For me, it was like, oh, I made it. This is it. I made it. I'm going to be so happy. Do you, honest to goodness, the most unhappy I've ever been. It was the worst year of my life, about a year and a half. I was semi-retired. I didn't really have to work, maybe 1 hour.
So you were doing well, tech, maybe on paper, doing the best you had ever done. And you're saying this was the, okay.
My health started declining. My relationships fell apart. I quickly realized that what's important to me in my life isn't seeking comfort. And I think we all have to ask ourselves this. There's not one answer for everybody. But I think asking the questions, again, that's the most important thing. You don't have to have the answers. And truth is relative. But ask the questions. What's important to me? And for me, I said, growth is important. Evolving myself is important. Learning, growing. I want to go where I can grow. And I'm not growing. And if I'm not growing, I'm decaying. And what am I doing with the life that I have if I'm not using it in a way that feels good and helps other people and feels like I'm making a difference? And I really had to come to terms with that. And so that's been kind of my North Star guiding me to now where I am today, head of marketing at Ice Barrel. And what I was missing through the past few years was a sense of community, team. I want to be on a team. I could do all these fun things. I had this racing simulator I'd spent. I don't even want to say how much money. A lot. VR. I mean, this was back in like 2018. The full works, you know, like heavily into this. And I remember thinking, this is going to bring me so much joy. I can imagine myself doing laps and racing F1 and I had all the different wheels, and I had the Porsche wheel, and I had this thing, and I had that thing, and I had carbon fiber seat, and I had an actual racing harness. Like I was ready to go. And I remember the first few times, the first time I put on that VR and I could walk out of the car and look around, I was crying tears of joy at this newfound freedom and this expression of playfulness and curiosity and play. And then what was interesting is I didn't have anyone to share it with. It was just all by myself. And I only used it a handful of times. I'm so sorry to say, I only used it a handful of times, sold it for pennies on the dollar of what I had spent. And so I kept just kind of chasing these things. But then I realized it's fun to do things with other people. Right. And it's like that sense of community. So now with Ice Barrel, I have an opportunity to lead a team. I have an opportunity to learn, to grow, to grow into more leadership qualities that previously I hadn't experienced. So again, go where you can grow and be uncomfortable. And when we get uncomfortable, just like getting an ice bath, that sucks. I'll tell you, getting in an ice bath is not easy, but the feeling you get, the trust you get with your body. And so that connection, that reconnecting to what's normal, what have we done all the way up until a couple hundred years ago? Bathed out in the streams, bathed out in the lakes where it's cold. It's healthy for our bodies. Our bodies are ready for this. Trust your body. And when you have that connection, when you feel that, and ice baths give us that sense, they give us that feeling of, I'm going to do something that everything inside me is screaming not to do. And when I do it and when I get out, wow, do I trust myself? Do I love myself? Do I feel like if I can do that, what else is possible? What else am I capable of? Oh, wait a minute. I'm on a team. I'm in a community. What are we capable of? What else are we capable of as a society, as a community, as a world? I know that can get kind of big picture for a second, but it really, that's what gives me a sense of fulfillment. That's what makes me feel like what I'm doing is important. It's valuable. I'm growing and the people around me are thriving.
It's awesome. You said, you said a lot of cool stuff in there too that I've wanted to comment on. Cause I know my ice barrel arrived a few days ago, which I'm so excited about. But as you said, I'm nervous about it too. And this is still taking cold showers every day, but I'm like, yeah, this is the next level. This is going to be different. You had said something about a meeting. I don't know if it was a top of the week meeting. And you said, when things are going poorly, we ask ourselves, what if this was the way we wanted them to be? So you know what I'm talking about there? Could you share that one a little bit?
Oh man. Yeah. So, and look, I'm so fortunate that I've had incredible mentorship. That's step one. Put yourself in a position where you're surrounded by people that inspire you, uplift you, challenge you, push you. And one of my mentors, he asked me that question. So we do something called a fact check, FACT. What are you frustrated with? What are you avoiding? What are you complaining about? And what are you tolerating? And on surface level, you're like, nah, I'm good. It's all good. Really dig in. And so I was explaining how, you know, this person that keeps coming in late, I'm just giving a random example. This wasn't it, but like as an example, this person keeps showing up late and it's really irritating and that's really disrespectful. And when that frustration comes out, and it's good to connect to that too, my mentor said, okay, let me call you up to one of our values. So we have four core values at Ice Barrel: be wildly courageous, lead with the heart, live mindfully, and be playfully curious. And so he said, I want to call you up to one of our values. I love that. Not calling you out, calling you up. I'll call you up to one of our values. Be playfully curious. Let's be curious. And there's a lot of science around play. Super cool field of work for those that are in that. And there's things that happen in the brain and neural connections that fire when we're curious, when we play. Like think of a child using their imagination. Man, they're in another world. What's possible when we become playfully curious? Like, okay, let me calm down. Let me get present. Now let me get playfully curious. Now imagine, just for a second, imagine you like it that way. Why might you want that? When you're frustrated, when you're in a place of conflict internally, asking yourself, why do I want it this way? That's some radical accountability.
So just to be specific, wanting it this way, not being frustrated, but it being the thing that is frustrating you.
Yeah, like in the scenario, someone's showing up late for meetings.
They're showing up for meetings. Okay, now let's play with that. Let's just play with it. Imagine you liked it that way. Why might you like that? Okay, let me really dig into that. Well, I really value being on time. When they're late, then that makes me feel like I'm right and they're wrong. People generally like one of these statements: look good, feel good, be right, and be in control. Say that again. Look good, not just physically, but like, ooh, I look like I'm doing good work. Like people respect me. Yeah. I'm looking good. Look good, feel good, be right, or be in control. So for me, I resonate with all of those. Let me be honest. And be in control was a big one. So it's like, yeah, that makes me, or be right. You know, that makes me feel like I'm right. And for me to be right, someone else has got to be wrong. Once you can kind of unpack that, then you can be playfully curious and think of other ways to approach that. So it's really just a way of connecting to maybe some subconscious programs that have been running that you are unaware of. And by flipping the script and going, wait, maybe I like it like this. There was a time in my life where I was drinking too much, not to the point where it was like destroying my life, but relative to what I knew I was capable of, it was holding me back. So I've since made a decision to stop drinking. I'll occasionally have a drink on special occasions and things, but I don't have it in the house. And I realized, like, I feel bad and I'm shaming myself. And I'm guilting myself. Maybe I like it that way. Why would I like it like that? Well, then I don't have to push myself. I don't have to do things that are uncomfortable. I don't have to try. And if I don't try, I don't fail. And I'm afraid of failing. So I'm going to sabotage myself so I don't try, so I don't fail. Ooh, oh man. Levi, don't do that to yourself. Don't do that. Okay, now let's play with, imagine if we did something else. How would that feel, right? So it's, ooh, it's tough stuff. But that's one of the toughest questions when things aren't going the way we want them. Expectation, reality. There's a misalignment. Oh, I'm frustrated. I want life to be like this, and it's like this. Well, imagine you like it like that way. What would that look like?
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm glad you gave the example. Maybe this is an opportunity for the imagination to go anywhere. I first took it as, well, what if I liked this way? Like, why do I like someone coming in late to meetings? And then imagining a world where I wasn't frustrated by that. And so it's like, I like that he comes in late into the meetings, or she comes in late into the meetings. And it's like, well, then they're relaxed, and or they feel the opportunity to get something else done that they may think is a higher priority, or those are kind of the areas that I went. And so it was fascinating that you took it more to this, like, does my frustration show something of like where my mind is in a state of judgment and or self-sabotage or other areas.
Well, I like that you mentioned frustration, Justin, because that's something, I mean, one of the reasons I was so excited to hear more from Levi is because I want to apply this stuff in almost every area, almost everything that he has said today, because, you know, you take that frustration. So a lot of I'll tie it to the whole filmmakers and advertising aspect here. You know, on the filmmaking side of it, we have several different types of clients. A lot of them boil down to two. There's these, not saying which one is better or worse, just for the sake of the exercise, but there's the type of client that's a bit of a dream client where they go, rock and roll, guys, this is why we hired you. You're the ones, you know, bring it to me when it's done. And we're like, wow, and we have all this freedom. That could be scary for some people because they might need more. Then there's the more stereotypical type of client where there's just like a helicopter client almost. You know, they're calling you five times a day. They're giving you notes. They're not paying attention to a structure or a system that you might have in place. We could just say they're being disruptive in some way, shape, or form. They're being disruptive and kind of making your life a living hell, you know, while you're trying to do something for them. We've had clients before where I probably would have loved to step outside and sit in an ice bath for 5 minutes just to literally cool off to get a break. But to apply the question, you know, what if I liked it this way? You know, you start responding in a frustrated way if you're just living in a frustrated state. I mean, when Justin and I get into some of these productions, sometimes they move fast. And I know I've gotten caught up in it several times where the pressure's just, it feels like a ton. You know, and it's coming in from all sides. And so to shift your perspective on how you're dealing with these pressures and problems in your work, it kind of seems like, I don't know, some mythical key to unlock the ability to just chill out. I also do like the tangential physical relationship between actually the benefits of cold therapy and a lot of the mental stuff that you're talking about. But I find the connection amusing. But yeah, that's why I'm so interested in it, because I at least personally can see a ton of benefit from just even trying to struggle to do the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Cody, that's probably one of the deepest things we could go down. You know, this is a kind of a more complex one of playing with that idea.
So when you say, what if I like it this way? It's not the way that I took it. It's the, what if I like being frustrated by this? Is that what you mean? Like seeing it as an indicator of something else, not a what if of the future, a what if of my current state, like not a what if I change my perspective, but a what if my current state. Is that correct?
You're right, Justin. It's why would I want it that way? I know I don't, on surface level, I don't want that. It's frustrating. It's irritating. It's causing conflict in my day to day. I don't like that. Okay, well, what if you secretly do? And just like that analogy of me sabotaging myself so that I don't have to fail, it goes a few layers deep. Like, huh, imagine I actually like it that way because it makes me look good, feel good, be right, or be in control.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
So that's more of...
Oh, did I miss it? Did I interpret it incorrectly then?
No, I think you were... I took it a different way, and I like this exploration, yeah.
Another way of thinking of it is, what else could be true? So again, with the leaning in, again, with the slowing down, taking the time. I mean, we make so many assumptions every day, thousands of assumptions. Now, what if we just slow down and what else could be true? Well, maybe that person is late because things are going on in their life, or maybe, you know, like what else is possible? What else could be true? And it just helps us hold back our own biases, our own quickness to judge. And it just removes a little bit of the pride and the ego. And I think we can practice this when we're listening. Cody, I think you and I spoke a little bit about just how listening deficient we are as human beings. And we can really practice this by slowing down and going, wait, am I listening to connect or am I listening to respond? Am I listening for things that prove my assumption right? Right. So am I looking for things that bolster my argument of this person is this way or that way or within this one dimensional box I put them in? Or is could something else be true? So that's more of the exploration, is just kind of taking yourself out, zooming out, slowing down and going, okay, let me check in with myself. And now let me just listen to connect. How am I listening? Who am I listening as? Am I listening as Levi? Am I listening? And Levi is a son. Levi is a boyfriend. Levi is a friend. Levi is am I listening as head of marketing at Ice Pearl? Or am I listening as the truest essence of who I am? And that's when we really connect. And Cody, you and I both did that. And that's why we felt such a profound impact from that little engagement we had. Now imagine if we treated everybody like that. Imagine if everybody just listened to connect. And one thing that you can do is a really tactical, practical thing, because I know a lot of this stuff gets a little ambiguous. You can send out little ping signals. So I think when you say a statement, I have an interpretation of what that means. What if it means something different to you? So something I've been practicing and slowing down, because I like to just go, yep, next, 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 next. I go, oh, okay, it sounds like you're saying this. Is that correct? And a lot of times I go, oh, no. Just like what you did, Justin. Perfect example. Hey, this is how it occurred to me. Was that your intention? No, I'm so sorry. Oh, okay. Then let's get on the same page, right? So you can send out little pings. Oh, okay. I understand that. So it sounds like what you're saying is X, Y, Z. Yes. Okay. So now I'm like fact checking in my mind, like, oh, that word means this, or, hey, what did you mean by that word? When you use it, like, what does that mean to you? So it's really listening to connect. And then when I can connect, now we can move together.
Justin is a natural at a lot of this stuff too. That's one of the reasons I asked him to join us today. Justin's supposed to be directing and getting ready for projects, but I was like, you got to be here. But he's always been good with this stuff too. Obviously, listening to you, curious to know if we have time for it somehow. Like if these were self-taught, if you were always this way, if there are things you've been learning and just clocking and gathering. But it does seem like a better way of living and approach. And I can totally see how it connects to how you do business. It just seems intriguing to me to have people like you or you guys who are moving through the world this way, but then you have to work with other people who are not. I don't even have a direct question aligned with that. It's just something I can't help wondering about. But I would hope you've won people over and that it's pretty satisfying when you see people going, you know what, I'm gonna chill out, no pun intended, and try to do things your way, because I see that as just better for my soul and my health.
A couple things came up when I was listening. It's this idea of what got you here won't get you there. And it's also an incredible amount of grace for yourself. Man, we're our own worst critics. Grace for ourselves, grace for others. So that's got to be a staple, right? And that's, again, slowing down. I spent just under a year in LA, living out of my truck, eating on about a $2 a day Jack in the Box budget. If you really want to know, it's Jack in the Box. And that created such a fire inside that I said, I will never, you make these absolute statements, you know, and it's like, ooh, that's going to have a belief system and a whole bunch of things. high emotion is going to be attached to that. That's going to be really triggering. I said, I will never be back on the street again. I will do whatever it takes. And I did. I worked 18 hours a day, 16 to 18 hours a day. Honest to goodness, worked every single day, went door to door, learned how to build a website. Hey, do you need a website? Do you need a website? Do you need a website? I was determined to do whatever I had to do to learn these skills so I didn't have to feel the shame of where I had come from. And that was helpful until it burned me out. So be willing to reevaluate your values and extend yourself grace. Hey, that served me then. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the challenges and the hardships and the difficulty and that gave contrast to the beauty that I now appreciate. You don't know a good day unless you've had a bad day. So I learned to look at the challenges in my life as vehicles for transformation. And it's like, oh man, when I can look back and I can create that narrative, we're all amazing storytellers. I can make up any story in my mind about my life and where I'm at and how successful I am and what that means and if I'm winning and if I'm a good person, if I'm bad, it's all up to me. So that's kind of the good news and the challenging news too, that we really are the creators of our internal reality. A quote that I really appreciate from a guy that I don't even know on Instagram, I think his name is Matt Chernard, and he does daily cold plunges. And he does, hey, this is your daily cold plunge reminder. And he's sitting in this ice bath, I think in Canada, and he just drops some wisdom, you know, and just randomly scrolling through Instagram. And I heard him say, it is not always the inconsistent external circumstances that will dictate the outcome. It is usually your consistent reaction to those circumstances that will.
Yeah.
It's not always the inconsistent external things that happen to you. That doesn't determine who you are and your outcome. It's your response to those. It's like, oh man, did that hit home? So I love this idea of better than yesterday, 1% better every day, just stacking, habit stacking. You see a lot of this nowadays, people talking about earn your dopamine and build your day on tiny wins and stack these things, because in a state of pressure, in a state of stress, you will default back to your habits, your rituals. So, and are those serving you? Right? You'll always go back to your habit. I've actually never shared this on something like this before. I did something a while back and I was dialed into two things. What raises my frequency? And what that means to me is it makes me feel alive. It makes me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I think we all experience that in some level and in some areas of our life. Like, wow, that feels really good. I'm supposed to be doing that. Like, yes, raises my frequency. Like, what makes you come alive? What makes you the best version of yourself? So I started writing things down. These are all things that raise my frequency. These are things that lower my frequency. I did the same thing with energy. What gives me energy? What gives my body energy? What gives my mind energy? And what depletes it?
Were there a lot of the overlapping type of things? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, let me share it really quick. Did not prepare this. This is pretty wild. Okay, so we'll do the frequency one. Here's what raises my frequency. Exercise, nature, creating, philosophical and spiritual conversations, being around other high frequency people, teaching or educating, helping others and giving, and being present. Mm. Don't those all sound like wonderful things to be doing? Like, yeah. And I experienced that before. I was severely depressed at one point in my life, and I went and volunteered my time to help build homes and communities in other parts of the world. And in doing that, I was the happiest I'd ever been. Like, whoa. To experience joy, give it to someone else. And isn't that weird how like we're tired when we don't exercise? When I exercise, I have more energy. Whoa, there are these weird paradoxes in life. And in doing something uncomfortable, it makes me really comfortable. In an ice bath, my heart rate shoots up to 130, 140, 145, right when I get in. It's called the sympathetic nervous system, also known as fight or flight. Freeze or faint. And then what happens? You can see it. You can see it in people about 40 seconds, 40 to 45 seconds when they're in the ice bath. All of a sudden they go, that's the parasympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. This stressor, cold, the stressor, it's a hormetic stressor, means it's good for you. That stressor is one of the unique things in life that triggers both the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. Fight or flight, ooh, cortisol, ooh, stress, adrenaline. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And then to know, no, top down control. My mind tells my body that I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. I can get through this. Something bad just happened in my life. I can get through this. Just go through a painful breakup or divorce. I can get through this. This is okay. Mm-hmm. It's all right. I'm going to be better for it. And that hormetic stressor, then when that parasympathetic kicks in and you get, oh, you see it every time. We've done it. So many studies with our Whoops and our Apple Health, you know, our Garmin's, all of this. And you see it spikes up to 145, goes down to 45. I'm freezing my body and my heart rate's at 45. And then we know through science that it helps with heart rate variability and it helps with keeping our heart rate lower. Just like when you're a runner, you have a lower heart rate because your body is used to that stressor. So those are things that raise my frequency. What lowers my frequency, just to finish that tangent, weed and alcohol. That's for me personally. Everyone might be a little different. And it's a trick because it spikes that dopamine. It makes me feel great. And what I've realized is that it actually takes energy away from me. It lowers my frequency. I'm not as empowered in my thinking and doing things that will serve me down the road and doing hard things now that will provide fulfillment later. I just want that instant fulfillment. So I'm careful about that. TV and gaming. I love video games, man. I love Rocket League. I love it. If I play too long and I'm sitting there for more than an hour, my energy's going down into the floor. My frequency is lowering. I'm not my most on fire self. Doesn't mean I never do that. It just means I'm aware of it. Sitting for a long time. So I'm standing today because I sat a long time yesterday. Consuming instead of creating. Mm-hmm. Create more than you consume. Gossip and drama. I don't have anything to do with it. It's not the energy that it doesn't make me feel good. Just like with my nutrition, I've cut out everything that gives me inflammation. And I think it's different for every person. I really do. I'm not going to tell you eat the way I do. I'm going to tell you be mindful, live mindfully. One of our core values, be aware of what you're putting in your body. If food is fuel, wouldn't you want to fuel yourself with the best stuff? Why are you putting diesel in a non-diesel tank? Come on. Scarcity and fear. That's a big one. Fun movie quote from a movie I've never seen. Bridge of Spies. My dad told me this. This is why I'm using it. I was getting on this kind of topic of like, yeah, fear is false evidence appearing real. And, you know, it's just, you know, it doesn't ever serve us, doesn't help us. It's made up, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, yeah, like in Bridge of Spies, you know, the guy who's captured, he's on the way with Tom Hanks and, you know, he's in the car and he's about to be executed. And Tom Hanks goes like, aren't you scared or aren't you worried? Like he was just sitting there very content, very happy in the back of this car on his way to be executed. He said, aren't you worried? Aren't you freaking out? Are you afraid of what's about to happen? Are you scared? And he looked at him apparently and he said, would it make a difference if I was? And I don't know if what we think and how we feel, I don't know. I can't conclusively tell you if that has any impact on what manifests in our life. I don't know if me thinking positive creates more positive, like tangible things that I experience, but it can't hurt me. And if it does on any level, wouldn't I want to expect something great? Wouldn't I want to feel good? Because you don't know what's going to happen. You can't always control the outcome. But why have a negative anticipation of a future probability? That's all it is. We don't know if it, maybe it's going to go well. Maybe it's not going to go well. But us assuming negatively is only going to hurt us in the process. And it's going to rob the moments that we have. There was a study, and I'll end this whole thought with this one thing. There was a study done where a person went and interviewed people on their deathbed, and they said, what's your biggest regret? That was the question. Looking back at your life, you're 90-something years old, what is your biggest regret? And they said, time and time and time again, do you know what the number one thing that came back was? I wish I didn't worry about so many things. I wish I didn't live in so much fear and anxiety, because 99% of the things that I feared never happened. And the horrible things that did happen, I couldn't have prepared for it. And I would have dealt with it the same way either way. It's like, hey, that bridge is coming up. We're going to cross it. But me getting freaked out about it right now, it's just going to rob me of the joy of living.
There's a few group of us that about 5 years ago or so, we were getting into cold showers. And it was funny talking about it too. Some of the things that you said, just to kind of echo it, especially if we started the day first thing, is taking the cold shower, the thing that the body's screaming, saying, don't do it. But to have power over that and actually do it and then feel great afterwards, it did become this thing where it was like this guide where anything else in the day, you go, well, I took a cold shower. I could do that. I could take a cold shower. So you like rate really how hard something is to do based upon like how it was to take the cold shower, which the ice bath would be just a whole nother level to that. And it was very funny. And then every once in a while, I'd be like, I'd rather take a cold shower than do that.
Yo, that's awesome. One of my favorite quotes is, "The cave you fear holds the treasure you seek."
That's great. That's
awesome. I've been thinking, like, can I get that tattooed somewhere? Like, what would that even look like? Like, it's that cool to me.
I love that.
Isn't that so true, though? Like, man, yeah. The thing we fear most, when we get on the other side of that, a difficult conversation with a person or a conflict or something that's looming over us, like, man, you just enter the cave. Take the turn. Like, if we're racing, take the turn. And in life, sometimes we don't know where it's going to go. All we got to do is take the turn. Just focus on the turn that's coming up. You've got a staircase. You want to be at the top. Me too. How do you walk up a set of stairs?
So as you go about, I see how this like personally makes a huge difference in your life and the other people's lives around you as a team, how you lead with a team and a dynamic. How does this apply to how you go about practically putting into action as far as like marketing for Ice Barrel?
Yeah. Yeah. So we think a lot in terms of story, and we're so blessed that our COO is an incredible storyteller. And that has shown up in the content we produce, the content we create on Instagram and through other platforms, the way we talk about it, the way we show other people's stories. And really, it's the values that we embody that allow us to show up that way. And the way that we practice these values through our meetings, through these different exercises, it just has applications through everything. So we work better as a team. We're more inspired. We have fun. I love referring to myself as the CFO. And they're like, you're not good with, wait a minute, that doesn't fit you. I'm like, oh, no, I'm the chief fun officer. You know, I'm trying to see how many people we can fit in an ice barrel. Like, let's have some fun with it. So in our marketing, we're just very connected to helping more people have access to cold therapy. So we champion cold. Yeah, we've got great products that can help that happen, but I'm not here to sell those products. I'm here to sell cold therapy, right? Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, I would have to do a lot of what I call a double sell in marketing and advertising. Double sell. Number one, I've got to sell you on the modality. Why cold therapy? That's a big sell. Now I've got to sell you on my product that helps you with that. That's very difficult in marketing, right? So thankfully, we've done a great job of showing why and showing the benefits and showing how it can impact someone's life. But something I'm always thinking about is how do we make it more accessible? How do we be more approachable? It's not just CrossFit athletes that are doing this. How do I make this message and how do I bring this whole way of being to the single mom who's working from home, who's stressed out, who needs to de-stress and have some personal quiet time and reconnect, get that energy boost. It gives you so much energy for 4 to 6 hours after you get out. Dopamine, norepinephrine, adrenaline. You are like on a high after you get out of a 2-minute ice bath. Can I do that for 2 minutes to feel great the rest of the day? It's like having 5 coffees with no crash. It's amazing. So how do we do that? And it's not an easy task. When you try to appeal to everyone, we know this in marketing, you try to market to everyone, you appeal to no one. So it's a fine balance of showing what's possible and helping people realize that they're capable of more. And what would it look like? Imagine what you would be capable of. You know, imagine what else is possible for your life. Imagine feeling good. Imagine not having anxiety and depression. Clinical stuff, like it's out there. The stuff really helps. It really works. And it's natural. Imagine, like, I have arthritis. Man, I don't experience it when I'm regularly ice bathing. It's just helping people strengthen their minds and calling them up to something bigger. And again, how that shows up is so many different ways, but really this message of we're here for you. You're not alone. You're a part of a community. We can all be better. We can do better. And just really having that congruency between our own beliefs and actions. And that's what people feel when we're at events. They see us, they interact with us. It's like any one of our team is upholding the core values because it's who we are as people. So you have to be really careful who you bring on your team, the culture you build, And we're all just human, so we all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But it's about embracing that and just sharing truth. And I think truth resonates. And when people see our brand, they go, man, you guys are like really authentic. You've built like a movement. And really, we're just here championing people being well-adjusted humans. And this is a modality that can drastically help. Sauna, unbelievable modality as well. Sauna and ice. These are powerful, powerful tools that are available to us. What I like about the cold is that you don't have to go to the YMCA. You don't have to have a sauna in your backyard. There's all kinds of ways you can get cold, and it's relatively inexpensive or even free. Fill up your bathtub full of ice water. And by doing these things that are so like, why would I do that? You're just building a stronger relationship with yourself. And you're like, if I can do that, just like you said, Justin, if I can do this, everything else is easy. That's just about those little things. And then that transfers to now I want, if I'm doing this hard thing, so this is my own personal story. I'm like, dude, if I'm doing this ice barrel and I'm going to sauna and I'm like, I'm in the sauna at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, I would do anything to get cold. I open the door. Oh, now I'm cold. I don't want to do it. Okay, fine. I get so cold. Now I'm cold in the ice barrel. I'm like, I would do anything to get warm. I go back in the sauna. I'm within 5 seconds. I'm like, why did I do that? This is so uncomfortable. When we're able to do that, it's just stacking these things. And then I kind of go, well, wait a minute. If I'm willing to do that, and this sucks as much as it sucks, then why am I eating unhealthy? Like, why would I just, that's an easier one. And why am I not working out? That's much easier than freezing my body and sweating out my pores and freezing my body again. So I think when you do the hard things, it's easier to start stacking other things that help support the bigger vision and mission that you have of your life, of what is possible and what you're capable of and who you could become. We're all in a state of becoming. We're all in a constant state of becoming. No one's arrived. No one is there. So giving yourself that grace and then also just realizing like, wow, that's pretty cool. And that tends to happen for a lot of people. I see you start doing this hard thing and now you're eating better. You're working out. When you're working out, you want to eat more healthy and you're more mindful and you're more connected to your body. You trust your body. You trust your mind. And now you can extend that into every area of your life. So that's what I hope we are marketing. That's what I hope we are inspiring people with, and that inspirational, emotional connectedness. I think that's when marketing becomes so powerful and you create something bigger than a product, bigger than a brand. You create a movement, you create a modality that serves people and you go, man, if I don't do anything else the rest of my life, this has been pretty cool, you know?
Oh yeah. So you mentioned, do you use it like multiple times a week yourself, Levi? Or?
Yeah. So there are kind of two ways I look at it. There's the, let me jumpstart my day. So in the morning, first thing in the morning, boom, like, woo, I'm awake. I feel great. How many years I went rolling out of bed, squeezing every ounce of sleep I could get and going right to the Nespresso machine. Oh, do I love a Nespresso?
I was curious to know if you're still drinking coffee after your ice bath. So now you're feeling really great in the mornings.
Not as much as I did before. And I don't feel like I need it. That's the difference. I enjoy it. I don't need it. And I don't, and I like feeling like I don't need things to help me just be like back to normal state. So I like doing it the first thing in the morning, or when I'm in the gym, I will go to the gym in the morning. So I kind of get that, all right, I'm going, and then I'll take a cold shower after that. And that gives me the same kind of thing. So I'm getting back into a gym phase. Admittedly, I've slacked off and just kind of like atrophied myself by sitting in my chair working too much. So I'm balancing myself again, grace. We're always in a state of becoming. No one's fully made it. Let's just be real. So I'm looking forward tomorrow to getting back into the gym. And when I'm in that routine, I'll take my ice bath around 3 p.m. So right about now, I'm starting to feel kind of tired, been up since 6. Oh man, getting in there for 2 minutes changes your entire mindset. I also like it as an emotional reset or a mental reset. When I'm battling with something, I can tend to get in my mind and have anxiety about it. And I won't sleep. And I'm like, I know I have this thing coming up. And it's just like, man, if I could just get out of my own head. Fortunately, I am able to meditate. And the reason I say it that way is I have my best friend who, for whatever reason, has convinced himself that he cannot meditate. Just impossible to quiet the mind, to just to do that. So he's really struggled with it. And I recommended ice baths. And he said, that is meditation. Whether or not you want it, you are going to be forced to be so present. Okay. Now I'm thinking, like, am I worried about these other things when a lion's chasing me? No. Same kind of feeling. I mean, I don't mean to make that comparison. It's a little different. But one's deliberate. One's very scary. But it's a great tool to just help reset. And so something that I encourage people to do, and I've taken hundreds of people through ice baths at the CrossFit Games and all these different events that we go and we offer free ice baths for anybody who's walking around, and we'll coach them through it. This is what makes us a little different. I support all cold therapy companies. Any way to help people get cold is a win, just for the record. However, I love our approach to it. So we say, let's really be intentional. It's really a core value of ours. So treat that barrel like that person who's cutting you off. Go take an intention into that barrel and work through that. And when you come out, have that conversation. Now you feel empowered. So take that difficult thing, take it into the barrel, work it out. It's just like going to the gym and blowing off some steam. Take it to the barrel. You come out, you'll be renewed. You'll be a new person. And there's just something so transformative that happens, whether I want to or not. And I kind of like that about it, because sometimes it's hard to slow down and meditate when my mind's going a million miles an hour. But throw me in a 40-degree tub of ice water, you know, up to my neck, puts things in perspective. You get really grateful and thankful very fast.
I like that. And it is also, you mentioned trying to keep inflammation down. Does it just in a practical way help with that?
Oh, man, unbelievably. Yeah. For athletic recovery, for the muscle tissues, it creates mitochondria within the muscle cells. It's amazing, within your tissues. So mitochondrial biogenesis, creating more mitochondria, that gives you energy, that helps your oxygen efficiency. It converts white fat, which is our storage fat, into brown fat. Brown fat, the reason it's brown is because it's full of mitochondria. Mitochondria burns white fat for fuel, and it burns sugar from the blood, I believe. Sugar and the white fat is what it uses to burn and to keep you warm. So when you go into an ice bath, amazing things are happening inside your body. And one of the great benefits is the inflammation reduction. So it helps people train. If I can train twice as much as you can train for this event or this race or whatever it is, I'm going to be the more well-adjusted athlete. I'm going to get ahead faster. So we see it huge in any kind of sport application where you're fatiguing your muscles. You want to recover quickly. And so that inflammation, and inflammation goes not just localized, like, hey, I hurt my elbow, let me just ice it. That's great. Inflammation is also systemic. So what research is showing is that this is incredibly helpful for preventing systemic inflammatory diseases. Now, what are those? Dementia, Alzheimer's, arthritis. So many lifestyle diseases can be prevented by just getting a little uncomfortable. And man, having a grandfather that's struggling with that, like, I wish I knew about this sooner, that it could potentially help a lot of people and people I really love and care about. So I look at that and I just go, I'm worth taking care of myself, man. I'm worth helping the people around me. And if this is something that can really help them, then it's powerful and it's worth doing.
Again, like I said earlier, there's so many things I want to ask you, but I have to be realistic about our time. Is there anything that you're excited about right now that's around the corner for maybe what you're doing with Ice Barrel? Are you guys going to the CrossFit Games again this year?
We're going back to the CrossFit Games, Madison, Wisconsin. It'll be so much fun. I'm just excited that this is getting out to the masses. And so I'm just all about getting that out there to more people and just helping people realize that humans need three things to feel content. What are they? Number one, to be competent at what they do. Number two, to be authentic in their lives. And number three, to be connected to others. So I'm excited that this is a tool that can bring people together. Sauna is an amazing tool that can bring people together. And I think anytime we can do something that allows us to open up our subconscious, anything is possible. What's possible when you really embrace this modality, when you do hard things? We've seen people come out crying, bawling. They've worked through trauma. They're unable to get into ice because they almost drowned when they fell in a lake when they were a kid. Like, I could tell you so many stories of how empowered people have felt. So the words that we like to use, empowered and connected. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, is to get more of a community around this modality. So that will look like us releasing a cold therapy app in the future. It will look like us creating more accessible ways for people to get cold. So it's not a big barrel you have to dunk in for people that's a little intimidating, or like my grandma who doesn't have upper arm strength to get herself in and out of the barrel. She doesn't need all of that. So finding just better solutions to help people get cold at home within their routine and just bring more connectedness and community to the world, really. I think we need it.
They can just start by filling up a cold tub of water and then going to the convenience store and getting a bag of ice and dumping it in and then getting in for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, man, what I'd recommend, Rubbermaid has a 100 gallon and a 150 gallon, not exactly a horse trough. It's a little bit more built up. I love that receptacle. It's about $100, $150. Go get you one of those. I'll be honest with you guys. I didn't say this entire time. I'll say it right now. I really don't like cold showers. And I think it's because there's an easy button. I'll go to the gym and I'm all hot and sweaty and I'll flip it to cold, but then I just go right back to hot. So I'll admit that's a real struggle for me.
Yeah. The other side of your body is warm to the air and this side's, there. So it's not like that full submersion. But why a Rubbermaid over just the bathtub?
Full submersion up to your neck. So getting your shoulders under. And you could probably do that with your bathtub as well. It's nice to have something that's dedicated to that. So you're not constantly, having to mess with the tub. And the tubs that I've got, my legs are sticking out. It's uncomfortable.
I got you.
If you can. But look, if you start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, Levi, man, is there anything, we've pretty much just been asking you about how you think, for an hour or more. Is there anything that you'd want to say before we wrap up here or any other thoughts? You don't have to have one. But if you do, we're happy to hear it.
I feel grateful to be here. I feel grateful for us to have connected. I feel so grateful that you've allowed this space. You've held this space for me to share some thoughts and ideas. And what I would love more than anything is for anyone listening to this to just implement one thing, just one thing out of there. If that helps in some way, it'd mean the world. Focus on who you want to be and how you want to be. And we know where focus goes, energy flows. We're capable of so much more. We just need to change our perspective.
That's great, man. If anybody wants to find you, if you want to be found, where can they go?
Absolutely. Apart from Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, Levi@icebarrel.com.
Well, Levi, thank you so much, man. I'm really grateful about it. And I really appreciate a lot of that stuff you said about the you that got you to where you are, but also embracing the change. So really appreciate you, man. And we hope to continue these discussions with you. Hey, everyone. We hope you got something out of this discussion with Levi Sanford of Ice Barrel. You can find links to Ice Barrel in Levi's websites and social media profiles in the show notes. From Cry, a creative production and post house based in New York City, I'm Cody, and this is Filmmakers in Advertising.